Welcome to Fearlessly Feral Living. This is Karen coming at you, and today I want to explore this burning question. Is it better to think your way into right action or act your way into right thinking? And today I'm going to posit for you that it turns out this is a both and kind of thing. So here's my introduction. Welcome to Fearlessly Feral Living. I'm broadcasting to you from the Woogie Ranch out here in the back 40 of northwestern Nevada, where I'm a half an hour away from damn near everything, the gas station and the grocery store. This is a podcast devoted to using new thought principles to ensure successful creative living. Fearlessly Feral is a focused ministry of Centers for Spiritual Living and is devoted to the vision of a world in which everyone lives fearlessly feral or wild and free. So here's a quote for you that I think you probably have heard before. It's from Albert Einstein, and he said, "You cannot solve a problem with the same consciousness that created it." Now, there's a lot to unpack in that quote. First of all, we have to believe that our consciousness created our problems. Now, if we don't believe it, we might as well just stop listening right here, because from this point forward, I'm going to proceed on the assumption that you believe that your consciousness created your problems. Now, before I get too far into this, I want to address the problems that always crop up with a statement like this and dispute them. So many people go to a place of shame if they consider that their consciousness created their problems, and I'm here to tell you that nothing could be further from the truth. Yes, our consciousness does play a big part in creating our lives, but here's the deal, folks. First of all, in Science of Mind, we teach that everything happens for our good. So perhaps a change in perspective is needed when stuff happens. In other words, whatever happens in our life, yeah, our consciousness created it because a change needed to happen. It didn't feel good at the time. It probably created some drama and some trauma and all sorts of unpleasantness. But if we come out of it knowing that we need to make a change in our thinking, then isn't it ultimately for the best? If we come out of it feeling like we're in the best place we've ever been in our lives and that we couldn't get here unless we first went there, isn't everything that happened for the best? This is the way I look at this, folks. There's no shame in this. There's no blame. There's no negativity. There's no wrong. There is nothing wrong with you. You are powerful. You are wonderful. You are beautiful. So instead of going to that shame-based place where we've done something wrong if we have problems, we look instead at the opportunity inherent in the problem itself. In other words, the problem might be, as I said, painful or ugly or horrible or really, really icky. But there's something there for us, something good. Do we have to do the grieving process? Yes. Do we have to forgive? Yes. Do we have to let ourselves heal? Yes. But after all of that, we can find the good. So look at this stuff with as much hope as you can muster. Look at this stuff saying, when I come out of this, things are going to be better. Look at this stuff with an eye towards, what am I being asked to learn here? How am I being asked to change? Because when this kind of stuff happens, I consider it a call. Now, I was talking with someone one time, and I told her that what was going on in her life was a call, and she said, "I don't understand that. What does that mean?" She finally came up with it was a catalyst. Yeah, that works. A call is an invitation. It's a poke. It's a nudge. It's a whack upside the head with a 2x4. I don't care what you call it. It's basically an invitation for us to step into a greater way of being in our lives. And I do want to insert another word of caution here. Don't go thinking like I did. This is one of those, don't do as I do as I say. Don't go doing what I used to do. I fell into a trap, and that trap was, I thought I had to experience drama and trauma and all kinds of strife in order to experience good in my life. Somehow I got it in my head that in order to get to the good, I had to first go through something bad. That is not true, folks. That kind of thinking, all that sets us up for is to experience bad. So don't fall into that trap. I'm out of that. Thank God. I finally had a revelation one day and realized, oh shit, really? Okay. Got to stop doing that. Don't get caught in that trap. So here's another point with that statement of Albert Einstein's. Some people believe that we can't change our consciousness. We can't change our thinking. We can't change who and what we are. I'm not one of them. My personal experience is that yes, we can, and a lot of the time should. I'm living evidence that we can change who and what we are. And I have seen a lot of other people do the same thing and be different than they used to be. And so if you believe that you can't change your consciousness, I support you in that. But again, at this point, you might as well stop listening, because I'm going to proceed as if we believe that we can change. We can change who and what we are. We can change our consciousness. We can change our thinking. So, what precipitated this particular topic is that I was in a group of people one night, and one guy got very loud and vocal and insistent in his statement that he could not think his way into right action, that he must first act his way into right thinking. And it activated me to such a point that I went home and thought about that statement, because I believe just the opposite. Now I believe it's a both and, but I believe it's just the opposite in many areas of my life, let's put it that way. And I went back to a time in the beginning of my spiritual explorations when a mentor told me the same thing, that I could not think my way into right action and I had to act my way into right thinking. Now, even back then, before I knew about science of mind and before I heard this quote from Albert Einstein and before I knew what Ernest Holmes said and before I got the education that I got and the experience that I have, I knew there was something wrong with that statement. I wasn't quite to the point where I knew why or how, but I knew that what she had told me really wasn't true for me. Fast forward to today, and I am so convinced that in most cases I must think my way into right action, that I've got spiritual practices specifically designed to change my thinking if necessary. So here's some evidence that we must think our way into right action. Athletes visualize themselves achieving their goals before they go out and act upon that. In other words, they're thinking about it before they do it. The Bible says we are transformed by the renewal of our minds, and that as we believe, so we are. So we are. Both statements are telling us we think first, then we go out into action. Ernest Holmes said to learn how to think is to learn how to live. And then he created an entire philosophy and a way of living that teaches practices that facilitate great thinking. All these people, the Bible, athletes, Ernest Holmes, they're all saying we think our way into right action. When there's others. So here's some others. English philosopher James Allen, he said, as a man thinks, so he is. As he continues to think, so he remains. Marcus Aurelius, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He was a Roman emperor. He said, "A man's life is what his thoughts make of it." Ralph Waldo Emerson. "A man is what he thinks about all day long." Author Earl Nightingale. "We become what we think about." And Mark Twain. "Life consists mainly of the storm of thoughts that is forever flowing through one's head." All these people are saying the same thing. We are what we think. So if we want to change what we are, we got to change our thinking first. So there's a co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. His name is Bill W. And he's been quoted as saying that we must act our way into right thinking. And for millions of people worldwide, that right there is enough. They don't need to look any further. It's the source of some common advice that you sometimes hear in meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous everywhere. Fake it till you make it. And yeah, there's a certain element of truth to that, particularly in the beginning. Because in the beginning of getting sober from an active addiction, our thinking sucks. There's no way we can think our way into right action. So in the beginning, yeah, this is true. We have to remove the substance and keep it removed for a while and get it out of our system before we can think right. This is acting our way into right thinking. We remove the substance first. But I decided to continue my search for that Bill W. quote where he actually said that, and I could not find any evidence that he ever said that. And yet an entire recovery movement has been built upon this foundation. And then we look at the steps. They don't say we act our way into right thinking. They say we think our way into right action. The first three steps are designed to change our thinking before any action is recommended. They use words like admitted and came to believe and made a decision. Those are all thinking steps. Even the next two are more thinking, combined with a little bit of writing about what we thought. And then we talk some more about it. It's not until we get to step 9 that we're advocating action in the 12 steps. So I realize I might be bumping up against a sacred cow here in the recovery movement. That's okay. I do that all the time. But I believe that we think our way into right action. So stick with me here. I'm in recovery. Those 12 steps are a foundation for the success that I enjoy in my life now, and they have been for over 36 years. But I've built something upon that foundation. I've built in the realization that it is only in the beginning that I had to act my way into right thinking. After that, I had to begin to think and change my thinking so that I could then act right. As it says in the steps, you know, I had to do those steps. Today, I live in the last three because it's my opinion, and I've long stated this, that the first 9 steps are for beginners. As beginners, we come in a program, we do the first 9 steps, and then we live in 10, 11, and 12. So I'm going to get off my soapbox there and move on. Then sometimes you go into a meeting and you hear somebody say, "My best thinking got me here, so my thinking's broken." And every time I hear that, I just want to sigh. Because really, here's my response to that. Yeah, your best thinking got you to AA, which is all you were capable of at the time, where you learned in Alcoholics Anonymous a way of living more rewarding than anything you could have ever dreamed of, which is based upon a changed way of thinking. So, yeah, your best thinking got you to the place you're at today, and this applies to everybody, not just people in AA. Our best thinking got us here. Guess where here is? At the jumping off point to live even greater than we ever did before, but we got to change our thinking first. So, we change our thinking, but it goes a bit deeper than that. We also change our beliefs, We might even change our values. We change our consciousness. We change who we be. And when we do that, we show up in the world differently. And then the outer world changes. And if you want some more evidence that we think our way into right action, think about the times in your life when something has happened. You've had a loss of some sort. You lost a partner, for example. And you went right out, found a new partner, figured it was the partner's fault, and you're going to get a new one. How'd that work for you? You decided where you were living wasn't working so well, so you moved to a new place. How'd that work for you? You decided the job wasn't working so well, so you got a new job. The key common element with all of that is that wherever we go, there we are. We've acted, but we haven't changed our thinking. It's going to be the same old, every single time unless we change our thinking. So here's another quote that I absolutely love, and I use it a lot, and if you've listened to my podcast, you've heard it. This quote is attributed to a whole bunch of different people. Here's Ralph Waldo Emerson again. It's attributed to him. It's also attributed to Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu. I think that's how you pronounce it. A supermarket guy called Frank Outlaw, the Buddha, and the father of Margaret Thatcher. This one statement is attributed to all those different people. Watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. So, all kinds of traditions and movements and ways of living and philosophies are telling us we think our way into right action. Now, how do we change our thinking? If we actually buy into that belief and we decide we're going to change our thinking, how are we going to do that? Well, first of all, we have to counter any resistance we might have, because I'm telling you that the way to change our thinking is to go within. And more often than not, when I'm suggesting to people that they go within, they fight it. They fight it with every step of their being. You ask them how they're feeling and they say, well, I think. That's not going within, guys. And a thought is not a feeling. They don't want to go within. I've never been sure where that resistance comes from. I've heard some people say, well, my mind's a dangerous neighborhood. Well, yeah, it might be. But you still get to go there. You still get to go there. You just take something or someone with you. You take a mentor or a guide or a prayer partner, or, oh my God, here's a wonderful suggestion for you. Take a God of your understanding with you when you go within. That's what it's there for, that God. Now, I don't happen to believe that God does things. I think God gives us the power to do things. But I will say this. That's part of the job of God. It's to provide us with the power and the willingness to do what we need to do and be what we need to be in order to live successfully. And the first step of that is to go within. To know yourself, to explore your beliefs and your values and change them if necessary. And here's where the next place of resistance comes along. Folks either can't or won't change their values and their beliefs. They might be willing to change their thinking, but those values, oh my God, they are set in stone. I get it. Those are some sacred cows right there. Because we think if we change our values, which were originally installed either by the parental units or the church, we're somehow disrespecting the parental units or the church. Nothing could be further from the truth. There's none of that there. It simply means we're deciding to do and be something different for ourselves. It doesn't discount what they did or how they trained us or any of the indoctrination that we received. It doesn't discount any of that. It simply means it's time for us to make a choice. So consider that when you're looking at your values and your beliefs, those things can change too. The key point here is to refuse to go within and actually know what your values are and where they come from and whether or not they're really yours. That's a severe way of limiting our life right there. Socrates said that an unexamined life is not worth living, and I have found that to be true. So go within, explore your thoughts, explore your feelings, explore your fears, explore your beliefs, explore your values. Find out where they came from. Ask yourself, are these true for me today? Do some thinking. And then emerge and go out into right action. Now, having said that, I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in here because remember in the beginning I said this is a both and statement? Yes, most of the time we think our way into right action, but there's times when we must act our way into right thinking. And I did give an example. It's when we first get sober if we're addicted to something or clean or whatever. We are not capable of thinking clearly at those times. We have to act our way into a place where we can begin right thinking. There's another area where I don't care how much we explore, I don't care how much inner work we've done, I don't care how much we've changed our beliefs and our values and our thinking. If we have experienced trauma in our life, sometimes there is no amount of thinking that will change the trauma response. It's a fact that I have learned the hard way. So in some cases, it means that we have to act our way into right thinking. I've been doing some studying on trauma lately, a lot of it, and how it affects us. And I've learned that for folks who've experienced trauma, going within doesn't always feel safe. I've also discovered that according to a guy named David Treleaven, in his book called Trauma-Sensitive Mindfulness, 90% of us have experienced trauma. 90% of us, folks. So for 90% of us, in many cases, we can't think our way into right action because we can't think. We're in a physical reptilian response there. We're not thinking, we're just acting, and we can't do anything else. So I've learned through personal experience that there's other ways to go about doing things, and I've learned a lot of tools in my study of this. So if you've got some trauma-based reactions going on, in other words, if you've got some PTSD, there's help for you. I'm not the one to help you, I'm not an expert, but I've learned the tools, I've gotten the help. I've asked for the help and I've received it. And I have come a long way in reversing my trauma-based responses. So my point in all of this is that when we have enough personal self-awareness to really know ourselves, we can make intelligent decisions for ourselves and we can trust those decisions. And that's a huge deal, guys. It's a huge deal when we can trust the decisions that we make ourselves for ourselves. So living life this way, knowing when to pause and when to act, knowing when to think our way into right action or act our way into right thinking, having clarity and trust in our decision making. Oh my God, that is the most wonderful way to live. It really is. So explore, go within, and discover whether or not those beliefs and values you have are yours, or whether or not they were installed by someone else and it's time to change them. Think about whether what's going on with you right here and right now needs thinking your way into right action or acting your way into right thinking. And get some help if necessary, and then move forward from there to live fearlessly feral, because I am knowing that for you. Fearlessly for a Living is a focused ministry of Centers for Spiritual Living, and your support is so much appreciated, and it's also tax deductible, and you can find all the information about that on the website at fearlesslyferrell.org. And I thank you very much for listening.